It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight, again, in the off season for football and basketball, but news and notes coming all year long as more awards or preseason list awards for the IU football Hoosiers are coming up, and of course, all eyes are on IU basketball recruiting after they had the three commitments within about an 18-hour period on Sunday and Monday. In addition, we head towards the third golf major of the year, the British Open. The Open Championship starts 1:30 a.m. Tonight, tomorrow morning, if you'd like to get up early and watch the first tee time of the day. And they'll be playing all day long, of course, up near Liverpool. Not quite as long of day as in Scotland, but long enough. A lot of golf in the third major of the year. We'll talk about that before too long, too. But first, 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball. Three recruits the other day, three commitments. One it's going to be reclassifying to come in this fall. And redshirt, that's Race Thompson, the son of Daryl Thompson, the former running back at the University of Minnesota. Set all kinds of records up there. His son's going to be joining us and redshirting for this fall. That brings Archie Miller's recruiting, or rather his roster, to 13 scholarships, which is the allotted amount now, but also two commitments, one from Ohio, one from Indiana, coming in for 2018. But Glass, all eyes are still on a certain person down in New Albany, Romeo Langford. Romeo, wherefore art thou? And everybody's just waiting for this commitment. Romeo, top five, top 10 player, whatever you'd like to rank him as, one of the best in the 2018 class. We talked the other day about this start, and you know, the idea here is that, you know, Archie Miller, and I'll buy this, Archie Miller, new at Indiana. He doesn't have his program from the standpoint of what it looks like in an Indiana jersey available to show tape to people at this point in time. So how's he gonna sell it? How are people gonna buy off on it? Well, he's got three guys to buy off on it now. The question becomes, how do you get a top five, top 10 type NBA ready, supposedly, recruit to buy into that exact same thing when that guy might only have the eyes on you for a year anyways? And how important is it to Archie Miller's program in Indiana that he get that level of player right off the bat? Does it matter right this minute? I know IU fans want to get the kid from Indiana, but how important is it that they get this kid from Indiana given how highly ranked he is?
Kelvin Sampson came to Indiana University under a cloud of suspicion and NCAA stuff and got Eric Gordon to flip his commitment.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon was committed to Illinois.
A commitment, yeah.
Committed to a Big Ten rival,
mm-hmm,
and flipped his commitment.
Of course, it was Illinois, so.
Fine with me.
It's easy to bail on.
I'm not gonna get upset on any of that, but the point was Sampson was here and started at a very similar time.
Mm-hmm.
Sampson had a cloud of stuff over his head. Sampson had been to a Final Four, though. As we know, Indiana beat them in 2002,
yep,
in the semifinals. And he had game tape of what he did at Oklahoma. He had,
mm-hmm,
proof of purchase, proof in the pudding, proof
Final Four
everywhere else. Final Four, great, whatever it was. And Eric Gordon, a senior, I can't keep all, the oldest, dad,
yeah,
said, well, the old coaching staff down there wasn't something we were interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we were interested in. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have
basically
any quotes right in front of me.
That's
but
fair.
But the, yeah, but the end of the day was we weren't interested in Indiana because what was going on at Indiana.
Right. And that was the Mike Davis era. It was a lot of uncertainty. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Is his job safe? Is it not safe? Is, mm-hmm, he going to quit? Is he going to be fired?
Clearly,
be
they were
here?
Interested in Indiana, but not at that time because of the situation.
Exactly where I'm going with this. I don't know what goes on the recruiting trail. Not many do. And if the situation changes, and it did, and Romeo Langford or whoever we're talking about, whoever this person could be, that's obviously who it is,
mm-hmm,
it's different than what it was 4 months ago. It's different than what it was 5 months ago. So anybody on the radar can go back and see what Archie Miller has done at Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back. There's YouTube clips. There's anything you want. You can read press clippings. You can really do your homework if you want to. That's probably a good thing in this day and age. You don't go sight unseen. But what happens is, without having anything at Indiana, and I go back to the Sampson thing, you sell a vision on what you think is going to be best,
mm-hmm,
how you're going to put it together. You can use that past experience. Absolutely right. It's not like a guy's never ran a practice before or whatever it's been.
Sure.
But you have Indiana. I'm not saying this wouldn't work at Butler. I'm not saying it wouldn't work at Purdue. But there is something mystical about five national championships. There is something tangible about a brand new state-of-the-art 17,000-seat stadium.
Would it be?
Practice hall.
Would there be any of that if this kid wasn't from the state already?
If he wasn't from the state already, and this goes to any national recruiting thing, Indiana's focus should be on what? It helps that you want to have kids from the state of Indiana. And we talked about this on Monday. You've already been into a city where you've never had any success since the Abernathys.
Right.
And you found somebody, and you've found something and said, hey, that Indiana place looks really cool.
Right.
So is it a validation of what the university has done as an athletic department? Yeah. They've put money into their facilities.
Yeah,
they've upgraded their facilities.
Yeah.
They are building new facilities as we speak. If you drive by there, the south end zone's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what that's for? Student athletes.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Yep.
So that's all yours. Here's what you're coming here for.
Here's the investment in
your
athletics.
You're not going to be here if you're down the road, 18, 19, 20, where we have blueprints to show you, like Tracy Smith had to do with baseball.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex Dickerson, you're from San Diego. Here's what we're going to try and get done when you're here.
Yeah. And at the time, nothing was moving.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? Relationships happen. Trust happens. Guys get along with certain guys. You have some friends in your life that you're really tight with and some friends that you're like, yeah, I'll go hang out with them. But there are some people that click and figure it out. Also, the stigma that is Indiana University will get you into places perhaps others won't. You're on the Big Ten Network. Mm-hmm. You're contracted with CBS.
Right.
You have every game on big boy national TV.
Yeah.
You're not going on the ACC Plus Network times three to get your game on.
Right.
You're on everywhere. So your ego gets padded. You have 17,000 and change cheering your name.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that at a lot of places. Can you get it right up the street from your house? Can you get it? Does it take two plane rides? What's best for me? What works for me? And if the old recruiting pitch didn't fit or didn't sound well, who's to say the new recruiting pitch might not? Because one thing we did talk about was the extended recruiting outside of this year wasn't there weren't guys in classes that had committed to what was going on.
Right.
So when you look at that and you tie it all together, if you're recruiting the best players in the country, if you're Indiana and you bring out the facility sheet and say, here's what we have for you and here's how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the league we play in. Here are the tournaments we've played in Maui, Brooklyn. Here's what we do. Here's how we do it.
Right.
You're going to be okay.
But is it enough for a kid like that right now?
You know what? For a kid like that.
I mean, if you've got 3 years to make a relationship with this kid.
For a kid like that, I think the biggest advantage for Indiana is maybe you're not selling them on 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, buddy, it's your first year. We'll have at least a year under our feet.
We get you might not be here very long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We expect players like you from our state to be here. We make you our number one priority. That's how you go about doing it.
Yeah.
You have to go in and fire big at them. Now, the kid from Dallas, Texas, who's number three in the class,
mm-hmm.
I don't care what you do with him.
Right.
It doesn't entertain me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to play in the regional against him coming up in March. You're not going to watch him, Bloomington people.
Yeah.
You're not going to see him. You're not going to be surrounded by the news of the kid from Los Angeles, the ball kids.
Right.
ESPN will take care of that for you. Maybe you will get enough.
Well, you'll care.
But I think what the angle is, it's new. The coach is new. The program is new to a degree in the sense of what they are going to do immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And the old is the good part of it, saying we have all this to lean back on. We are not asking you to bring us from the ashes to recreate something that maybe can't be recreated in 1 year or 2 years, depending on what your plans are.
It was Big Ten championship 2 years ago. So
exactly.
You know, last year wasn't what we
but
wanted.
But I think the history side of it helps to sell it as well, and the recent history side helps to sell it also. Look at the foundation. Here's our blueprint. Here's what we're putting together. Here's what we've brought in. And look, we've shown this program can do it before. We've seen successes, maybe not as recent as we like, and we'd like you to change that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like you, with these pieces of the puzzle that we have, returning, coming in, whatever it may be, there's a stock cabinet. This is not a rebuild where you have to sell Cody Zeller and Yogi Ferrell on. You're 6-24, dude.
Right, exactly.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because when Yogi committed.
Tom Crean did that.
That's exactly right.
Tom Crean did
that. Yeah.
He had a way to get in and make that message work. Mm-hmm. Archie Miller, with the start he's gotten off to, sounds like his message is being A, listened to, mm-hmm. B, received, and C, validated. That's the word I'm looking
word
for.
Word is Romy will be looking at a visit here to Indiana real soon. So
fantastic.
Maybe on his final list. We're not sure
what
all
that is. I
would
be disappointed if any top player in the state would not visit here.
Right.
I would have questions for the head basketball coach as to why that's not it.
And surely you would think they had now, at some point in time already.
I understand there are some other reasons and rationales where you'd say, hey, look, no offense to anybody that's here, but Mike Krzyzewski knocks on your door, and I don't care who your coach is. Krzyzewski is the Olympic coach. He's just won back-to-back national championships a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I get all that. If you're going to Duke because you want to be part of Duke, right. I can't beat you anyhow.
Yeah.
I can't beat you with my coach.
Right.
My facilities are better than anything at Cameron.
Yeah.
But the Cameron crazies and all that jazz
and
all the stuff that goes with the being the NBA representative for the – well, not the NBA, but the Olympics team representative, you can't fight that.
Right.
You can't. But what you can do is say, if you go to Kentucky, you're 1-6.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get a chance.
Right, exactly.
Hopefully you get a chance to show what you want to do. If you go here, maybe they have some issues. If you go there, are you too far away? If you're going there, you do understand what conference they play in. So sometimes you get into that stuff. But the message, the plan, the validation you've already seen in 4 months, and the Kelvin Sampson story makes perfect sense. He came in and flipped a commitment.
Yeah, right.
He didn't pick up a kid that no one was recruiting or wasn't sure. He took him from Illinois switched him here.
There was some clear hope there.
But
I mean,
there was a
history there that made that possible.
The history was, we're interested in Indiana. Who wouldn't be interested in Indiana?
Just
I think that's the circumstance.
But
going back to the Gordon point, just to wrap the thing up, is when a kid is already verbaled, I mean, that's usually uncharted waters for the most part.
Supposedly leave them alone, but we know better.
But with a new coaching change,
you
get fresh life.
Mm-hmm.
You can breathe a new pitch, spiel, blueprints, buildings, all that stuff, and it's very powerful. And so is a television contract, which I know everybody's pretty much on TV now. Your schedule is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Your brand is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to somewhere and to be the third fiddle in a city or a state, perhaps, that has other things going on. College basketball is a pretty big deal around here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that leverage and the leverage of people already listening to the message, multiple people listening to the message and saying, whoa, that kind of makes sense. It's exciting.
812-333-2665 is a phone
number.
Is
it necessary?
Well,
that's another question.
We've had a few one-and-dones or two-and-dones. Cody Zeller, obviously. Eric Gordon, you mentioned. I mean, we've had a few of them that have come through. Noah Vonleh is one that I think just kind of falls
OG
off the map.
OB.
Because, you know, an OG, because guys that just weren't here very
Victor
long.
Victor Oladipo.
3 years. Do Indiana fans, and I'm asking you to kind of
go across the whole board here.
Do you think Indiana fans want to delve into one-and-done types on a regular basis? We all like talent. We all love great basketball talent. But I'm not sure Indiana fans really, at the end of the day, want to have to be dealing with one-and-dones all the time,
recycling your
top guy all the time. I think they like more a team that comes together, a team that builds from the ground up and has special years, not necessarily an individual special player that's gone after 1 year.
I think, and I'll speak for Indiana fans here, one-and-done means you have talent and guys should be able to help you right now.
Mm-hmm.
What expectation you put on that talent is completely up to you.
Mm-hmm.
If that talent is from the state of Indiana, it is a different deal than it is.
I agree with that.
Thomas Bryant, if he would have come here and went one and done, people would have said, thanks.
Noah Vonleh.
Thanks.
I mean, we all forget.
You're part of the fabric of a 7-15 team that worked, didn't work, who reclassified to play even earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe if he just showed up as a regular,
you
never would have known the difference.
It was a forgettable year, and unfortunately, there's not a lot we remember about
that. No, and that's the point. And I think Indiana kids are different. I think Indiana fans want to be in those discussions where they have one-and-done players on really good teams that go as well. Because usually if you have a premier player that goes after the first year. Now, how many first-year guys have we had? Gordon was about it.
Gordon,
did Gordon go first?
Gordon, Vonleh.
Yeah.
Gordon went after 1 year.
Absolutely.
Vonleh. I mean, it's not a lot of 1 year.
No, there's not. But if you want to look at the 1 years that have gone from other premium programs, I think you'd want to be in that boat because that player is really good. Because really good helps you. really good building over 4 years. I don't know. How many great seniors do we point out in the league annually? Couple?
In the Big
Jock.
Ten?
You know what those guys usually are? You know what they are?
It's going down.
You know what they are? Huh. They're late bloomers. Well, they're late bloomers. Jock, when he came out of high school, couldn't shoot. Yeah. He couldn't shoot a sophomore year. He was like 3 of 18.
I mean, you've seen some third-year guys. Again, Troy Williams and Victor Oladipo were third-year guys. Melo Trimble stuck around until his third year.
Right.
I mean, so you've had a few
of
them.
Okay, so back to your...
What was Russell, first year or second year?
First year. One and done. D'Angelo, he was Russell. Gone. And but I think back to your point, if a player is of that quality and the NBA decides his future, not perhaps the player... Mm-hmm. You don't turn those players away, especially if they're from the state. That's the other side of the shoe. So if your kid is at Bloomington Central and is getting 28 a game, and he has been told by everybody that he will be in the draft after 1 year, do you say no thanks because we want to upset our fan base, or do you want to get your basketball team better?
Well,
I think the fan base has to be a little bit understanding on some of that. You're not going to be Kentucky because you're not. Calipari has – he built a system. He built it from scratch for him and his stuff.
And I think it's clear that Indiana fans don't want that.
They don't.
How many of the one-and-done types they want in general, I wonder about.
If you had 3 one-and-dones on your team, and one of them was from Indiana, and 2 of them were from whoever else, and you won a national championship for the first time since 1987, would you
different.
Ever care?
Yeah, I mean,
that is it.
Yeah.
But who wins national championships?
Right.
You don't see teams with 5 seniors win a national championship.
No, I was
you don't
at
do
this
that.
Early. I mean, North Carolina, they had a veteran group.
They did have a veteran group. Absolutely, right.
But it's either teams. When I go down this list, it's not going to be teams that don't have talent.
That's exactly right.
it's North Carolina, Villanova, Duke, UConn, Louisville, Kentucky, UConn.
That UConn
Kemba
team
Walker.
Had nobody on besides
Kemba
Walker.
Kemba Walker, that's it. And even he was a late draft pick.
UConn
again,
pro.
Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Florida twice. I mean, you're talking about teams that all have talent on them.
And have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're turning down one and done to do what with or not recruiting that, I don't think that's the new system. I think it helps that Archie Miller's in his late 30s. He's been through all this. He's seen all of this.
Mm-hmm.
He's developed it. He's seen his brother of all people when they went. I'm gonna beat this so far into the ground. You're gonna hate me after a while about it. Him and his brother go to Arizona.
Yeah.
With nothing.
Right.
Except a binder of belief.
Yeah.
And how they're going to run their program.
And all East Coast people. I mean,
and they're 1A, if not 1 in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean Miller's job before that was Xavier.
Yeah.
Sean Miller did not bring in 1-and-done players.
That's right.
Sean Miller did not do anything except get his team to win.
He didn't have L.A. commitment.
Nice players. I mean, I don't have the roster in front of me. I don't know. Was David West there at the time? I don't know who was with Sean Miller there. But you didn't have a situation where he wasn't getting all the big players from the area and loading up. He was getting teams, putting teams together that had some talent. But when he went to Arizona, guess what he had to do? He had to get into big L.A.
He got to recruit.
And he got into L.A. and he got players.
Mm-hmm.
And he got players that have gone to the next level and been good players. Now you want to knock Sean Miller for not getting to a Final Four? Help yourself. It's a fact.
Yeah.
I can't defend Sean Miller. It's not my problem. I don't care about Arizona basketball. I do a lot more than I did about 3 or 4 months ago.
Well, sure.
But,
but they recruited.
Natural. But they
but
had
they found
to
a way
recruit.
To recruit. Right.
No. Not want to. Had to.
Oh, right.
Because if you're that program.
You have to. Yeah.
You're not going to Phoenix.
Right.
Downtown Tucson doesn't have 3 or 4 kids each year.
Exactly.
Where do you go?
Yeah,
you've got
to
get
Texas
into the valley.
You've got to
get into LA.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that. There's 25 million people there.
Yeah.
You're going to find kids, but you have to beat UCLA. You have to beat USC. You have to beat Oregon. You have to beat. So that's not an easy thing to do. What's encouraging is if Archie has any questions, number one, he started that. It was there with Sean when it started.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, he picks up the phone and says, man, I got a big fish.
Yeah.
How do I get him in the boat?
Yeah.
But that asset is unbelievable. Thad, you had to go to Indianapolis, get Mike Conley and Greg Oden. How'd you do it?
Right, exactly.
Well, you have the resource.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it exciting. And this is where fans, for me, can get excited or be excitable. Because this isn't some guy, some prodigy that we brought off the street who was a high school coach that somebody saw some greatness in it.
Right,
he
not Jerry
been
Faust.
There and done. There you go. Cincinnati having Moeller, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's not it. This is not – just because you're young doesn't mean you're inexperienced.
Is it reasonable?
No, it's not reasonable.
No, hold. Is it reasonable right now to think that Archie has a great shot at Romeo?
Defining his first recruiting or second recruiting class by one national player that he's late to the party on will give him that – in my world, we'll give them that break.
If it's a positive. I mean, I wouldn't see it as a negative because it's so late in the process. But that's what I'm saying. Is it reasonable to think he's really got a shot at this guy? It sounds like he does, but...
It's reasonable. Indiana should have a shot at any player in the country because of the 10 things we've already listed. Mm-hmm. If you want to play big-time college basketball, for a young and up-and-coming coach who we just told you about his background and what he's done and what he's been through,
yeah,
and you want to play at these facilities on this network and this conference, that's a pretty good weight to weigh in with to start with.
I mean,
if you want to say
got minimum top 20, I mean, arguments
sure.
out there in college basketball. Just being conservative with the guest S here,
if
somebody in Arizona might not care about that or LA, but
they sure might not. But they might say, hey, you know what? I want to get out of here. I want to see how pretty it is. Mm-hmm. I want to see how nice it is. I want to see how cool it is. Yeah. But the one thing that holds you back, and this is an absolutely fair argument, is what have you done on mm-hmm. a national level? And you can at least say, well, won a couple Big Ten tournaments, went to a couple Sweet 16s.
Yeah.
It's not, well, we really haven't done anything. You have something.
Yeah.
And for the last coaching staff, you thank for that because the program didn't go 9 years without doing nothing.
Right. I mean, the rebuild was done.
You have tangible evidence. You have tangible facts. You have tangible buildings. Yeah, you have tangible commitments mm-hmm. showing that something is resonating. Colin Hartman stayed. He came back. Didn't have to play. We keep harping on that as well. There are multiple factors here why Indiana should be a destination place. Not next month, right. not next year, but for at least the life of this contract till the next one.
It's interesting to me that we
there's your recruiting pitch. I just gave it to you.
Colin Hartman might have been his first recruit, and he's playing for the jersey, the name on the front. Whereas the biggest recruit everybody thinks right now is a kid that might not be here for very long at all.
That is, but those are the players that get you over humps that programs need to take 4 to 5 years to get to doing it the other way. You have to have a balance of both. I think you should be open-minded to it. I think it's part of the price of doing business until the NBA and the NCAA change that rule again.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Join the Indiana Cutters this Saturday, July 22nd, as they take on the Indiana Assassins at Edgewood High School. Kickoffs at 7 p.m. Now in their 11th season. Find more information, CuttersFootball.net.
812-333-2665 is a phone number. Quick programming note here. We got Reds baseball coming up right after the show. They are home to Arizona. We'll pick them up again on Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock, where they'll be home to Miami. And on Sunday, we've got the Brickyard. It's been rather quiet lead up here for the Brickyard.
Last one in July.
Yeah.
Until I believe it's the last one for Little E as well. I'll have to pony up on my Brickyard before the end of the week happens, but we'll have coverage beginning for you at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon, and then the Brickyard will move to September starting in 2018. Mm-hmm. Trying to do something to boost some buzz and some people's in the seats. And if you've seen the forecast for Sunday, about 91, 92, that's what they've been running into annually. Well, it's the fourth weekend in July. You're going to get into
that. It's going to be hot.
It is going to be hot. And we'll have it all here right for you. Then we'll wrap up our racing coverage of the summertime. A week from Sunday, July 30th, the Mid-Ohio 200 coverage begins at 3 p.m. right here on WGCL. Check the schedule at WGCLradio.com.
So Archie Miller has gotten three commitments. Really, I mean, we can look back, and you can say he's got seven if you want to. Colin Hartman, lots been made about his leadership for this team and how important it is and to kind of show these kids under the new regime that it's still about Indiana. He's the first commitment. You got the three recruits that were already committed to Tom Crean. They're committed still. So you've got three more there. That's four. And now you've got three commitments inside of a day. That came through. Race Thompson out of Minnesota will be joining the team this year, but is supposed to be redshirting. And then two 2018 recruits, Jerome Hunter out of Ohio and Demezi Anderson out of South Bend. And none of these kids, top five, top 10 kids. That doesn't make them bad kids. It doesn't make them a bad idea to give them a grant. They're all very good basketball players, all listed as four stars if you buy into that sort of thing. the question, I guess, for Archie Miller is, of course, you know, there's still some other big fish out there, and there's quite a few grants that he can give away for 2018. He's got five of them, and now he's got two committed, and who knows what else might happen for them.
Yeah, it's big time, and this is what he was brought in to do. He was brought in to make sure that this program continues to go in the right direction and pass that direction and keep on going. I think your point is excellent. He's 7-for-7. That's a fact.
Yeah.
There hasn't been one person.
And really, the three guys that left, we all kind of figured.
Not one of them said, you know what? I don't buy it. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. So there's something here. And if you are a fan of Indiana basketball, that foundation of having all seven of those players stick on, move forward, well, I don't know what more you could have wanted. Yes, it would have been great if it was one of those great Kentucky classes where you had 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 11, and 17. It doesn't happen that way. But what it is, there hasn't been anything that has allowed any doubt to creep in and say, you know, I don't. Geez. There's a lot of people that were a little itchy about, hey, it's July. We haven't signed anybody yet.
Right, exactly.
And then all of a sudden dominoes start falling. How do we know?
I don't think Indiana fans want that class. Simply because they might all be one or two and duns. I mean, if they were all Indiana kids, you know, like you think back to the class of Calbert Chaney and the you know, the Grahams and Nova, all those guys, maybe. But I think they want area kids. I think they want regional kids. I think they want kids that are going to play for Indiana. I think that's really important to Indiana fans.
I think Indiana fans want to win. And I don't think the fabric of Indiana
basketball.
I don't
think they want to win any way possible, though.
No, but I think they want to win. And if Archie Miller shows a prevalence of being a large fish netter nationally, I don't think any fans are going to be like, hey,
let's stop that.
Whoa, hold on a minute. But counter.
I don't want to miss out on the really good Indiana
kids.
Here's what I want to hear.
There's a great kid at Fort Wayne Southwestern,
And
he's an Indiana kid, and we lose him to Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear that kid say, oh, it was close. They were in there to the fight. It was the end. I'm going to play for Tom Izzo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get mad at the kid. What I don't want to hear as a fan is,
we're going to play for Richard Pitino.
No, where were we?
At Minnesota.
What do you mean there wasn't an offer? What do you mean we weren't talking to him? Mm-hmm. I don't know how all that stuff works, but that's what fans hear. Fans only hear the big words that come out of those things. But when you win games, you win games. And when you win games, I don't think people remember that Scott Mays from Sandusky, Ohio.
Right.
He was.
Yep.
Isaiah Thomas was from Chicago. Daryl Thomas was from Chicago.
Yep.
You can kind of cherry pick some really good Indiana players that weren't from here.
Right.
Dean Garrett and Keith Smart weren't anywhere near here.
Well, that made a huge difference.
Garden with Louisiana and California.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Worked out. Steve Isles from Ohio.
Yep.
Okay. Then we stretch the circle. Then we stretch and say, well, Ohio's okay. Chicago's okay.
Sure.
So then you're getting right back into it. So that's fine. You should be able to recruit regionally. You should be able to recruit to a degree nationally because there is – what's holding you back? What is the angle that holds you back? Kentucky? North Carolina? Duke? Okay. Well, get in the ring and fight with them. And if they tell you to go take a hike because I'm going to play for a Hall of Fame coach,
right.
I can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
– But get in the fight.
That's where having the 38-year-old or whatever it is, I mean, you're
– Exactly.
You're going to lose a few to Roy and,
you know, Mike Davis
and,
was
– Tino and those guys.
Mike Davis was knocked because and Tom Crean, to a degree, was knocked because they weren't winning enough with kids not from here.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't give a bailout. You didn't say, hey, these are Indiana kids. This
right.
is what we're doing. This is what's happening here. It's easy to turn if you're an Indiana fan when the kid from Maryland and Alabama aren't playing well, or the kid from Virginia and prep school in Maine aren't playing well,
right?
Because it's not kids you grew up and said, oh, I saw him get 37 at the gym over there in Shawswick. But that's part of the lore of it.
Yeah, no, it
is. It's a complicated animal, the Indiana fan, very complicated because they're very intelligent, almost to a fault. I'm one of them. I'll admit it myself. Almost intelligent to a fault. Maybe not very intelligent to a fault. But the point is, you've seen enough basketball. You know what good basketball is. You were raised on a generation of really good basketball teams if you're my age or just a little and older.
Yeah.
You are. You grew up and you saw teams win. And when they lost, it was a big deal to lose. Why the heck did you lose? Oh, my gosh, you lost. How did this happen with all these great players and great coach and everything else? So you are a little jaded. And I admit all of that. But what Indiana fans can't be jaded about is trying to win, quote-unquote, their way. I don't know if their way exists anymore,
right.
So you better get a little bit flexible. Remember when you weren't going to text message anybody on your new phone because you weren't into that?
Yeah.
Maybe when you're not going to buy your kid a fidget spinner or you didn't want to play Nintendo. Well, get with the times.
Yeah.
Because the times, they are changing, as Bob Dylan once remarked. And if the kids are reacting a certain way. That's all that's important. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about the fan base will be there when they win. Trust me.
To be fair, it does not have to be John Calipari's way.
It doesn't.
To win at that level.
But here's the other thing you don't even have to worry about. You can't do it that way.
Yeah.
You can't. Mm-hmm. He decided to create something out of almost absolutely nothing.
Yep.
Talking about selling a product and selling results. How many number one picks he had in the last 6 years?
Yeah.
Three? Number one overall.
Number
not
one
first
overall.
Round.
Oh, yeah, no. First round.
Overall. He's done something that you can't, and I think that's helpful mm-hmm. because that shouldn't even be a dream
right.
that you could get in that level, because there's never going to be a time when six kids go to Indiana and six kids go to Kentucky and they're all in the top 12 in the country.
I have
not going to happen.
Yet to hear any not Indiana fans say they want to do no. what John Calipari does.
But I haven't heard another Indiana fan say? I don't mind not winning a whole lot either.
Oh, and of course. Well, you always want to win.
So find your middle and make it run. Give Archie a few minutes to get his feet wet. Let him take a deep breath. But I tell you what, if he wants to stay underwater and keep catching fish, go ahead. You're not going to tell me to be quiet about that.
Got
to
take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note for you. We got Reds baseball coming up right after the show as Arizona is in town. And then we'll pick them back up on Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock for Miami in town. And then on Sunday, it is the Brickyard 400. And that is starting at 2:30 here on WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. We've been talking IU basketball. Let's bring in our friend John.
Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on?
Good, good. Hot, brother.
Good. You probably covered this money, but I wasn't in town Monday to hear your show. So what is the rationale behind a guy, the Race Thompson kid, coming, missing his senior year of high school, or skipping his senior year of high school, which you only get to do once, and coming down here just a red shirt and not play this year? Because the plan is not to play him. The way I understand it is they're going to redshirt him.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever say anything about why he decided to do that or what?
Nothing definitive that I have seen. I seem to recall seeing that maybe he had some nagging injuries or issues or something that he had, that would help him to work through if he had a year off. So, no, I mean, it's mostly speculation at this point in time. I haven't heard exactly
why. Well, and
why.
The other part of this thing is, as most people know, and I know
he's still up in Minnesota for summer school.
He's got to get that. Things wrapped up and worked up, then he'll be here next month, which is only a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
So and everybody knows his father was a big-time player at Minnesota. He was a running back in the league. So they've been through this athletic, how it works stuff before. This isn't something that would be new to their family about how big-time.
I think sister goes to Wisconsin, plays
Big
volleyball.
Big Ten athletics works. So they obviously are informed. They obviously know what it takes to perform at this level. And the other angle is, John, the romantic and you and me and Dave think that you're right. You only get 1 year of senior high school. But, again, what's best for me, it's a me world. I live in me time and me now. And if the scholarship had a caveat to it was, yeah, but you need to come in redshirt this year. You never know if that's part of the deal as well, if he's trying to build for next year's class. So I can spin it either way. I can make it look like it's a great idea, which I think it is if he's going to go to a prep school or something else. You're here. You do your laundry. You know what college work is like. You know what college basketball work is like. And you're one full – people say, hey, if you miss summer, you're behind. This guy's going to have a whole year here.
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage.
That would make some sense to me. But I could understand if a guy was like a rural project and maybe he had his academics all, his ducks in a row. But this guy's a top 100 player from everything I've read, and that's kind of unusual for a guy to skip a year and not come in and play immediately.
Hey,
Bonley came in and got reclassified. But
Musa Jallo.
He came in and played right off the bat.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too.
And I just wondered, yeah. When I read that, I was curious. I thought, well, what's the deal with this? Because I haven't heard anything about him.
Musa Jallo from Bloomington North was introduced today officially by Ohio State. He's
right.
Skipping his senior year to go play over in Ohio State. So I think it really comes down to the individual kid and what they want to do. But there was obviously something. And this goes back to Dave's earlier point. If you're listening, John, he's gotten all the recruits that were here from the last regime to stay. He's done what he's done with Colin Hartman. Now he's got other people committing to it. This kid's sacrificing his senior year of high school, which you just told me is a big deal, to come to Indiana University and play for Archie Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I can dress that up as a good thing.
Archie Miller is young enough, and the people I've talked to, and I only know one person that's ever actually known him, so he has a tenacity about him that's attractive to kids because, A, he's younger, and, B, He has a proven track record at a high mid-major level of getting guys better. And I think that will lend itself to him being able to recruit in Indiana or anywhere else where he wants to go and get players. As long as he gets good players who play hard, team players, people are going to be behind him. 100%.
I think he's going to get players that play hard for the simple fact that the one thing I keep hearing repetitively from people that have ran into him or have known him a little bit more intimate is there's no BS. He doesn't have time for it. He's going to build it. You're either with him or you're not, and we're going to go.
You asked this question. This is where I read it. This is Jordan Wells of the Hoosier.com, which is the Rivals IU site. The idea of reclassifying came up about a month ago. The current plan is to redshirt his freshman year and get his body to 100%. He's noted he's been banged up for the past year and a half while further developing his game.
That would explain a lot.
Because
I just did not know that. I had not heard that kind of stuff before. I expect really great things from Archie Miller because I think he is a perfect coach for them to get. If they had not gotten him this year, he'd be coaching at Ohio State right now. And then you'd be
Boy, you're not wrong.
By the skin of our chinny-chin-chin
everything happens for a reason. Remember, he had to say yes, too. He could have said, hey, yeah. Thanks.
Right,
no
right.
Thanks. I'm waiting for the Ohio State job. Everybody saw Thad limping for the last 2 years.
No kidding.
And not
doing real well on the court.
And seeing all the people leave the program. Mm-hmm. So you could have been in that fight, and luckily they weren't. So it's an exciting time for Indiana basketball, John,
yep.
No doubt.
Hats off to the Hoosiers.
And hats off to Archie Miller getting off to a good start, because if you didn't get off to a good start, you can never say you didn't.
Right.
You know, one thing I want to say, you're pressed for time, but one thing you said, Dave, we talk about John Calipari, and I've got a couple friends that are Kentucky fans, and they're Kentucky fans, and they cannot stand John Calipari, because he's made it clear, he said this publicly, he's at Kentucky to get guys ready to play in the NBA.
Absolutely.
To win national championships. He'll tell you that will come if you get them ready to play in the NBA, but it hasn't come except one time. And that time they had a senior who was a sixth man and two sophomores who were starters.
Yeah, and to be fair.
What he's had, he's really underachieved according to these guys. These guys are Kentucky fans. They would better have some guys, a couple one-and-dones, but guys that are going to be around 3 or 4 years to develop. And so, I mean, so what he is saying is not something I think Indiana fans or most schools would want.
Yeah, I mean,
fans don't even like.
To be fair to Calipari, I mean, and John, we're going to let you go and move
Poor
on to
Kentucky
golf here.
Kentucky fans, oh, geez.
To be fair to Calipari, I mean, this is the circumstances we live in here where you can get one-and-dones and you can recruit at that level and he's trying something certain. I would say I don't know that we've ever seen a whole lot of teams that have the level of talent, NBA-ready, massive talent on a yearly basis, and the expectation should be high for those groups. Now, he's had several Final Fours. He's had a lot of Elite Eights. He's won a lot of games.
Let me give you a perfect
example.
He's
got one title, and so if you want to say that's underachieving, he's had a ton of talent.
I mean, how many times do we have to listen for the two Cal kids, Jaylen Brown, nice player for the Celtics, and Ivan Rabb. Mm. Oh, these two guys, top 10 probably. They couldn't beat. They finished ninth in the big in the Pac-12.
Ben Simmons down at LSU. I mean, you get one of them.
You have to coach. You have to have players. You have to do it.
There aren't too many teams that have had seven of
even,
that level
even,
of all
even,
at once.
Even Duke, when they've had massive players, haven't always won. Yeah. It's been, you know, they've had – glue guys and veteran pieces.
Arguably one of the most talented teams I ever had was 93.
And this is the point you have to remember in college basketball. It's not a 7-game or a 5-game or a 3-game series. Mm-hmm. It's one night. Somebody hits 13 threes on you, doesn't matter how talented you are.
Yeah.
If you're chasing all night, you get in foul trouble all night, you don't get 7 games to prove you're the best 4 out of 7. It doesn't happen. It's one night, one game. Your freshmen go cold.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to bail you out?
It happens.
That's their problem.
Let's move over to golf as we have the third major of the year, the British Open at Royal Birkdale. It's got a pretty good-looking group of folks that have won at Royal Birkdale over the years. And we're here, back here again this year.
The 10th time, not first time since 2008.
Interesting to me, you and I on this show, we keep talking about how the depth of the top level of golf talent there
Massive.
Is right now is still big. And yet two of the biggest ones, maybe even three, if you throw Stenson in the book, kind of not falling apart, but stumbling a little bit. Rory McIlroy can't get himself back on cue. Dustin Johnson hurt his back and hasn't quite gotten back to what he's, you know, where he wants to be. Jordan Spieth has won a couple times.
Yeah, he won his last time out.
Usually some good showings. He's missed a couple cuts at some big events also. So it's not that it's all falling apart, but it's interesting that, you know, a couple months ago we were saying, oh my God, you've got 5, 6, 7 guys that could all be the number one player and the best player in the world. And now Jason Day, we haven't heard a lot out of Jason Day recently either.
Nope. Missed cut his last two events. Rory McIlroy's missed 3 or 4, 4 or 5. Dustin Johnson's missed his last two. Yeah. Spieth won his last time out, so let's not. We don't need to throw him in there. Ricky Fowler's been very good, and Royal Brookdale is going to be very difficult. The weather is not going to cooperate. That's what makes part of the mystique.
Look like there's a couple ugly days coming.
Open Championship last winner in 2008 was Patrick Harrington at +3. Mark O'Meara won there in 1998, his second major of the season, at even par. So it's not a place. In recent times, Ian Baker Finch won there at 8-under at perfect weather all day
long. Who do you
like? Who do I like? I think Adam Scott, Sergio Garcia, two guys that play that event really well. They don't get bothered. You have to be really good tee to green at Brookdale. It's not going to be a putting contest. Spieth in the mix because he's better off the tee and off into the greens, and his short game is as good, if not better, than Garcia. So those are your three favorites. There'll be somebody that always pokes their nose up there that you don't expect.
Yeah. See, I like Sergio. He got the pressure off him now. Loves this event. A lot of really good finishes recently and in this event traditionally.
He has the best scoring average, and he's the only one under 71.
He's talked a lot about how badly he wants to win this championship.
Well, don't want to win it badly. Just play.
Just do it.
Just go out and do it. That's
exactly.
Right.
All right, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. Don't go anywhere, though. We got Reds baseball coming up in just a few minutes. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in town. We'll talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.